Good morning, Dr. Morgan here. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Good to be with you this Saturday morning. And somebody was just trying to call, so I guess that if I give out the phone number, they will try to call right back, and I'll get you right in. That way you can ask me whatever question you like. You know, one of the good things about this program is you're in the driver's seat. You really are. There's a lot of people that feel as if that they have no options. Oh, no, that's not true. But it may take you a little while to get to the point where you start saying, I wonder if there's anything else that I can do to help myself. And the truth of it is, you got to have options. It can't just be, here, take this drug, or here, let me put you in this nursing home and let them take care of you. None of those are what I call great options. Oh, yeah, there's drugs out there that serve a purpose during an emergency. But there's nobody that's going to tell you that drugs are essential for the rest of your life unless they don't know what they're talking about. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Well, how are you today?
I'm just fine. And I listened last night, last week, my wife and I listened, and you were very, you gave very good instructions. And one of the things that you talked about was trigeminal neuralgia, and you, one of your comments was counter irritation.
Right.
I'm assuming capsaicin, I think you mentioned capsaicin, Zostrix, so forth.
Yeah, and for people that are listening right now, if you have a severe pain that's coming from the trigeminal nerve in the face, what you would do is you would counter that by putting something that's very irritating. Now, at first look, you're going, that doesn't make a lick of sense. But what it does is it tells the body to stop producing pain signals.
Yes, yes. Mine is not trigeminal neuralgia. I have migraines in the occipital nerve, and I've had them for 7 or 8 years now. They've gotten more frequent, and I'm just wondering if there is something topical that I could try. I do have a pill that I can take, however, I just don't like taking medicines, and it still takes.
Let me give you a different angle on this right here, because it doesn't hurt to give different angles and ideas, but let me suggest this. If you've got a migraine in the occipital nerve, that means something's causing inflammation and something's driving inflammation. And so as a general rule, when you have a lot of inflammation in the body, that means your system or your body as a whole is just burning through and exhausting and depleting its reserves of vitamin B12. Now, I'm not trying to make this completely into a B12 conversation, but anytime you have chronic pain, chronic inflammation, I would say that could easily be a vitamin B12 issue.
Okay.
And so here's two or three things that you can think of. And you know yourself really well, but would you say over the last 2 or 3 years that you've lost a fair amount of your muscle mass compared to the way it used to be?
At 81, I'd say yes.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to... 81? You sound like you're 40. What's the deal? And so, the one thing that you and I both can't change, we're all going to age, and it's just the way it is. But what's in your favor is you can say, well, what can I do to help counter that? Well, as we start becoming more and more depleted in vitamin B12 for a variety of reasons, we start to lose our muscle mass, and the body just doesn't heal as fast. And so I almost wish somebody could give you a vitamin B12 injection just to see if that pain begins to reduce and go away. But here's what I would do if it were me. All right, number one, I would try to hydrate your body really well. And one of the simplest ways I know that you can really try to hydrate your body is, number one, you could take a gallon of water. You could put one of those frozen cans of Concord grape juice concentrate into it, stir it up, and make your own Gatorade. Add a minimum of 1 teaspoon of Celtic salt to it, and maybe 1 to 2 lemons. Meaning you squeeze the lemon juice into the water. Just the lemon itself probably wouldn't do it, but if you squeeze it, what you're doing is you're making yourself your own homemade Gatorade.
Okay.
And so if you start sipping that throughout the day, let's see if that plays a role in helping to calm down this pain, because every good chemical reaction takes place in the presence of water. Now, when it comes to vitamin B12, I know I'm kind of making a joke out of this, but what is the biggest source of B12 in the universe? Well, it's going to be liver from a cow.
Okay.
So if you set your mind like Flint that you're going to attempt to eat liver once a week, what you're doing is you're trying to provide your body with a tremendous source of vitamin B12. There's a lot of other nutrients like vitamin A in there also, which if I were looking at your blood work right now, what I would look at is, if they did a simple test called a CBC with differential, if your white blood cell count is below maybe 5.6 or 5.7, then what I would do is I would suggest that you probably have some type of a very low-grade infection. Not enough to cause a temperature, not enough to give you a raging, you know, symptomatic vomiting or diarrhea problem, but you still have a viral infection in your body nonetheless. And so when you look at a CBC with a differential, if it shows that your white blood cell count's below 5.6, what that means is it means your immune system exhausted. And the reason I'm kind of delivering this information, this angle, is if your body becomes depleted and exhausted of nutrients trying to deal with a low-grade infection, then you've got nothing left in reserve to repair an inflamed occipital nerve that's causing migraines.
Okay.
And so if you look at your lab work, I mean, have you been to the doctor recently for labs?
No, I haven't.
Is that because you're so healthy, otherwise there's no need to go?
I'm pretty healthy, but...
Do you have really good feeling in your hands and feet?
I'm sorry?
Do you have good feeling in your hands and feet?
Yes.
Do you have good energy all day long?
I like to take a nap, 30-minute nap, but yes.
Well, I don't know that that's a problem. I mean, isn't that just kind of normal when you're 81?
I hope.
Do you digest protein well?
Yes, and we eat salads every day. We have no sugar in our diet, or at least try to keep
it. Oh, wow, that's excellent.
I have undertaken drinking hot water with fresh lemons, and...
You don't have any trouble with constipation, do you?
No.
Hot water with lemon and we'll do it.
I'll put honey in there with it.
Okay.
And
that's not necessarily bad. You talking about just a little bit of honey?
Well, I'll put a large, you know, how it is higher than the top. I'll put a large teaspoon full in. Heaping teaspoon.
Any time that you have a headache that starts at the base of the skull, is that where yours starts?
Yes.
Okay. I always have to think about the mineral called magnesium.
Okay.
Now, all I want you to do is just keep an open mind with what I'm fixing to tell you. If I look at the USRDA, they might say, okay, the bare minimum that a human being needs is like 300 milligrams a day, or there may be some studies that say exactly 367 milligrams is what you need to be able to function. But I just want you to keep an open mind. Every human being is biochemically individual, which means because of the sum total of the way that your body processes information and your level of health, it may be that you can do just fine on 367 milligrams of magnesium a day. But there's other people... I've read studies where somebody needs as much as 1,600 milligrams just to meet their basic needs. Now, to me, this is a huge topic, but just for simple information, if you got a headache that's originating in the back of the head, let's think about just trying to experiment with a little bit extra magnesium.
Okay.
And so...
I'm thinking 400.
Well, I mean, I can tell you what I would think of. I would probably itch in my mind somewhere between 800 to maybe 1,200 milligrams. Now, I'm only guessing. And the other thing is, anytime you have a migraine, you never underestimate the need of what are called essential fatty acids. And the reason why they're called essential fatty acids is your body has zero ability to be able to manufacture them and make them, which means you got to get them from the food that you eat. So if you're eating salads, most likely you're getting plenty of potassium. And as a side note, magnesium is the gatekeeper for potassium, which means if you got a potassium issue, most likely what's driving it is you just don't have enough magnesium, so it can do its job to help regulate potassium absorption and assimilation and usage. But essential fatty acids, that's what all your cell membranes are made of, whether it's a nerve cell or a muscle cell or an eye cell. And so guess where you get essential fatty acids from? If you eat stuff like salmon and cod and halibut and haddock and pollock and what other deep ocean fish did I forget? Flounder. But do you take some type of a fish oil supplement?
Yes, I have a teaspoon of cod liver oil every morning.
Okay, that's good. Don't stop doing that. Now, if I had a migraine headache coming from the occipital lobe, you might want to triple to quadruple that just to see if it plays some role at helping to fortify your cell membranes.
Okay.
I don't think you have anything to lose. But the magnesium deal, I'm almost positive you're going to tell me that you see some benefit. You know, it's fallen out of favor, but 100 years ago, when somebody had chronic severe headaches that wouldn't go away, they would put mustard on the part of the brain where it's coming from. And so you know how French's yellow mustard, the first ingredient's going to be like, I'm trying to figure out if it's water or if it's turmeric or curcumin. But you know how French's mustard has its characteristic very yellow color to it, right?
Yes.
Of course, where y'all live, you have to say amarillo. Don't y'all live down south?
Yes, we do.
Okay. But if you could try rubbing mustard directly on that area, it's called a preemptive strike. So if you wanted to, there's two or three ways you could do this. Number one, you could say, I am going to wait until my migraine is at the very worst and I'm in misery, then I'm going to try mustard. Or the way that I'm going to recommend, what if you tried just taking a little dab of mustard? I think there was a commercial on the radio years ago saying a little dab will do you.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that was Brill cream, not mustard. Never mind. But if you tried rubbing a little bit of mustard on that area, you could see if that gets to the core of the matter. The other thing, the first thing that popped in my mind, I never told you at all, but you could always go to the health food store or whatever store sells those products, and you could look for a product called Arnicare or Arnica Montana. Now, that's a gel that you can rub on there directly, but you could do it several times a day, even before a migraine hits. You know what? Here's the other thing. I was thinking, what I had it begins with a letter S. It was right there in my mind. What is it? Okay, I got it. Okay. Every so often, I'll have somebody that comes to see me, and they've got the migraine headache from hell. And they're just telling me every single day. Like yesterday, for example, I saw an 18-year-old young lady, and her mother were there, and it was a really, really good visit. And you know what? The reason I say it's a good visit is because the 18-year-old is already so disciplined at trying to help themselves or herself and take care of herself. I was really impressed. I mean, she's drinking water. It was so funny because I've never heard anybody say this, but they said, what do I do about my daughter? She craves Brussels sprouts. And I'm going, is that really a problem? I never heard of that happening. But what I was going to get to is one of the homeopathic remedies that I've used over and over the years for just really severe headaches that won't go away is a homeopathic remedy called sanguinaria. And I'm sorry.
Can you spell that, please?
Oh, I knew you were going to do that to me. Let me spell it here. Okay, let me take a stab at it, okay?
Okay.
And I think this is the homeopathic remedy that comes from the plant called bloodroot.
Okay.
Sanguinaria. Capital S. A N G U. I think there's an I after the U. N-A-R-I-A, sanguinaria. And you would probably look at that. The dose is usually 200C. That's what does the job. And you may have to order that online. And there's a lot of homeopathic manufacturers and providers on the internet. And, of course, you know, you don't always know who's going to give the best product. But the sanguinaria, you really need to give that a try to see if that helps break this cycle at whatever's happening in your body to help get you to a better place. So I'm trying to give you some things that you can experiment with.
Yes. Yes.
So at the very least, there's like about five things that you can try and have a go at.
This is great.
Yeah, and you know what the good thing about this is? You're willing. And you're a vessel that can be used in a great way. So let's see if using any of these things helps change the outcome of this problem.
You bet. The older I get, the more I try to keep the check engine light from coming on.
You are one smart man. Did you say you were 41 or 51? I can't remember now. Hey, thanks a bunch for your phone call. It's really good to give my best to your wife. And I hope y'all have a great day down. Y'all live south of Tyler, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. Have a good day, buddy.
You helped us so much. Thank you.
Well, you're sure welcome. I'm glad to be here. Glad to help.
Okay.
All right. Take care, buddy. Bye. Okay. There is a phone line once again open. This program is called Health Essentials. My name is Dr. Roy Morgan. And the phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, I'm going to share this with you real quick. Okay. In one study of patients hospitalized with bleeding peptic ulcers, you know what that is, that's bad, 70% showed excellent results lasting for over a period of 1 year from being given a placebo. Did you get that? Their physician said he had a new medicine that would cure them. That's what the doctor told him. What he gave them was an injection of a distilled water. If it's distilled water, that means there's nothing in it. A control group received the same placebo, but from a nurse who told the patients that it was an experimental medication of undetermined effectiveness. Only 25% in this group experienced a remission of symptoms. Does that tell you what happens when you have a positive expectation? I mean, it's incredible. And probably that's what I need to emphasize more. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Good morning. Welcome to the program. I'm Dr. Morgan. Thanks.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, as usual.
Oh, good.
All right. I got two concerns and questions. One, I did my blood work. Every year I do my blood work. And I noticed, I looked on the internet, and I had bubbles in my urine. And this says there's a lot of protein, too much protein could be in there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And my A1C was at 5.7. I think the lowest you can go is 5.6 for get pre-diabetics.
Yeah,
what
you're kind
I
of on
work
the edge.
On those two things, the bubbles okay. in the urine and the 5.7 to get it down under 5.6 and A1C.
One of the things that happens, and I'm not trying to be funny by saying this, but if somebody drinks a Coca-Cola, it just literally beats the crap out of the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the aspects of drinking a Coke is it's liquid sugar. And I realize some people, they don't really get sugar from eating pies or cakes or cookies or donuts or, you know, candy all day long, but they might drink it. And so the number one way through this is just take a good, hard, honest look at what you're eating and what you're putting in your body. But I could probably tell you right now, if there was one thing that you could do that would drastically help you, it would be to, as much as you can, think in terms of, I'm going to put food in my body that's going to rebuild me. It's going to help me get stronger. Just like the man that was 81 that called me earlier, just before you, and he said he eats salads.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a way to make it easy on your kidneys to heal. A salad will do it.
All right.
But refined sugar is literally the enemy of every human being that's ever walked the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It will just totally wear your kidneys out. So if you are out in the woods looking for a chupacabra or Bigfoot or Sasquatch, and you decide, mm-hmm. I have to go to the bathroom, if you pee on some pine needles, you're going to say, what is the deal with those pine needles? It looks like somebody put some Dawn dishwashing liquid on them because it's foaming up and it's all bubbly. Well, that's mm-hmm. a sign right there that your kidneys are not in great working order. So you need to be able to pass your urine without that. Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways you do that is by just trying to greatly eliminate the sugar for your diet or okay. from the diet. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
You know what I would do? And I know this is going to sound crazy, because what if you talk to a nutritionist that or a dietitian that works at the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
If you say, Dr. Morgan says that I should have a couple of eggs over easy in the morning with an avocado, what do you think about that? Well, they might say, are you kidding me? That stuff is high in cholesterol. That'll wreck your body. Well, that is a person's opinion. And just like mm-hmm. mine, you could say, well, that's your opinion too, Dr. Morgan, and you'd be right. But if you started your day off with more of a high-fat meal, I think mm-hmm. the rest of your day is going to go so much better. Now, mm-hmm. you realize I'm just sort of teasing as I say this, but what if we counter that by saying, I think I'd rather experiment by eating a dozen donuts and a Coke for breakfast. Well, I can tell you where that's going to end up. It's just going to literally mess up all your metabolic machinery.
mm-hmm.
And so if you said, okay, what can I do to help myself? Mm-hmm. Well, with these two things, well, number one, you just have to get more blood flow, more oxygen, more nutrients through your kidneys to get them to get well.
Okay.
And so if your first meal of the day was like a higher fat meal, like an omelet with an avocado, I'd say, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, that is amazing. This guy's going to start to change over time. Because, number one, you're not helpless, and you don't think that way, or you wouldn't be asking me. You're thinking about, what can I do to help myself? So that's why I like you a whole lot.
Yeah.
But definitely. If you had one salad a day,
mm-hmm.
that would go a long way to help giving you all the minerals that your body's made of. And so what I want you to remember is, minerals are what runs the show in the human body. Almost every good chemical reaction, you got to have water, and you got to have minerals to make mm-hmm. your cells work right. Now, let me make one more point, and I'll change my topic just slightly.
Okay.
If you said, well, Dr. Morgan, doesn't this really, my blood test, my hemoglobin A1C at 5.7, and the fact that I have bubbles in my urine, isn't that really telling me that I need to repair the cells in my body? And I'd say, yeah, I think mm-hmm. you're right. So on a cellular level, there's really two things that your cells need to be really healthy and really happy, and here it is. Mm-hmm. Number one, you got to be able to take nutrients into your cells. Mm-hmm. And so how are you going to do that? Well, you got to eat them, or you got to take them in the form of a supplement if you mm-hmm. need extra minerals. And the other thing that your cells want to do is they want to be able to take the trash out. The problem mm-hmm. is they can't take the trash out very well. If you can't take the trash out and get rid of it, then you mm-hmm. can't take the nutrients in. And so mm-hmm. if you have foamy, bubbly urine, that means we needed to kind of detrash the kidneys. I didn't say your kidneys were trash. I'm just saying mm-hmm. they're having a hard time at getting rid of some of the waste that's in your body. So okay. let's make it easy on you. One mm-hmm. of the things that, you know what the man told me just a while ago, and I said, I bet you're not constipated. He says mm-hmm. he drinks warm lemon water every day. See, that's the old remedy for constipation, is drinking warm lemon water, maybe with a pinch of salt in it. And there's a lot of people, when you put warm lemon water into the body, the liver starts to activate and open up and says, all right, evidently this is the right circumstances for me to dump all the waste in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you started putting fresh organic lemon juice, if you squeezed it into your clean water every day,
mm-hmm.
that's going to start helping your body alkalize and clean. And that's what your kidneys need. They need to be a little bit more alkaline, which, would you believe me if I told you, they've actually done studies on people that were in the throes of kidney failure, which means they would do a lab test, and they would look at that one marker called GFR. That mm-hmm. stands for glomerular filtration rate. It's on your lab test.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great marker. So yours, there's two categories. there's non-African Americans and there's African Americans. It's just the machine is calibrated slightly different. And I'm just saying there's a slight difference in kidney function. So if you look at your GFR number, if it says 100 for African American, that means your kidneys are perfect. I mean, excellent. So I want you to look at that after we get off the radio. But if your GFR on your comprehensive metabolic profile or panel, if it says 61, that means you're about 1 or 2 points away from kidney failure.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not saying that to disturb you. What I'm saying is, let's take a look at this from a perspective of what can we do. But the study that I'm alluding to is this. They've shown that if they can just get a person in kidney failure to consume a little bit of just plain Jane Arm & Hammer bacon soda, or what I really should have just said is bacon soda. I shouldn't be trying to promote one brand, but that's just what you think of because of advertising, I guess. But if you took about a half a teaspoon of bacon soda every day and stirred it in a glass of water, when you first start to stir that up, it's going to look really milky, like, oh my goodness, I don't want to put that in my body. It looks like it's got sediment. But as you continue to stir it, it just totally clears up. The same way that if somebody's got a dirty swimming pool or a dirty hot tub, guess what they put into it to clean the water? Bacon soda.
Really? Okay.
Guess what a woman would use in a hot tub of water if she felt really sick and toxic? Bacon soda. So people for hundreds of years have used bacon soda to help clean their body. It's not just to clean odors from the refrigerator or from the sink or the garbage disposal, but bacon soda is what cleans your body. So if you're having the bubbly urine and your GFR is less than 100, then I would say do a preemptive strike. If you start taking just a half a teaspoon of bacon soda, stir it in a glass of water every morning, your dude, your kidneys are going to start going, who is this guy taking good care of us? We like him. I think we're gonna do our job and try to help his blood pressure and everything else. So this will start to clean your blood. And when you start putting lemon juice in a fresh glass of water every morning, you're telling your body, thank you very much. I love you, buddy. So those are things that you can do right there, but there's no way to heal the kidneys on soft drinks and sugar. It's impossible. You know, let me tell you, I've only done my job for 33 years. I know maybe just a smidgen more than the average person does about health because it's my job and I love it. But I know this, you cannot fix kidneys if they're drinking Dr. Peppers all day long. It can't be done.
I know that's right.
Just like you cannot heal macular degeneration of the eyes if a person is addicted to Dr. Peppers. It can't be done. They're two opposing forces. You can't tell the body to heal when you're shoveling liquid acid and sugar into the body nonstop. It's hard. Can't be done. So have I gotten you started in the right direction, or get me back on track here?
You definitely, because I'm on this health thing where I try to...
Oh, good. I like that. Keep talking.
I'm going on 61, and I'm definitely concerned about my health since I was 50. I get the blood test, and I've been listening to you for years. And I get my blood test and everything. Every year I get my physical. My job offers me a free physical every year.
Take it. Way to go.
And I do it every year since I was 50. So everything high or low on my blood work, my lab work have hard copies sent to me, and I work on that throughout the year.
Oh, good. Now,
amen. So only thing I was off was that hemoglobin of the whole thing, and I'm looking at my blood work now, but I look at it after we hang
well,
up.
Well, let me. Can I ask you a couple personal questions?
Yes.
Do you take any pharmaceutical drugs of any kind to manage any problem in your body?
Well, I was taking atlodipine, but I don't take it as regular to lower my blood pressure.
You know what amlodipine is? It's called a calcium channel blocker. And so just give me liberty here, but if you're taking a calcium channel blocker, what that means is there's too much calcium in your body. And when you get too much calcium in your body, oh my goodness, that's what causes kidney stones to form.
Really?
And so, well, I mean, have you ever heard of a calcium oxalate? That's like 95% of all kidney stones. And so amlodipine, that's a calcium channel blocker. Which, you know, one thing it does when you take it, it causes a tremendous loss in calcium. Guess where that calcium's going to go? It's going to go right to your kidneys on the way out. Or I could have said it a different way, where it causes your body to dump calcium. Now, can I give you two more ideas or one more idea, please, since I got you on the phone?
Sure.
You know, you see how I'm trying to take advantage of you. I won't even let you go.
Good, because a lot of people are hearing it out there.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's good for everybody. All right. One of the terms that I keep reading more about when I read textbooks written by medical doctors, which I totally dig them and like them, but they're using the term metabolic sediment. Metabolic sediment. And what that means, it's all the dirt and the debris from just living in a toxic world. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have red blood cells break down, and some of that can end up as sediment in the body. And the kidneys, they are one of the most fascinating organ systems that are just totally incredible, how God designed them, how they work. I still just can't wrap my head around them totally. Mm-hmm. But your kidneys, guess what they do? They got to filter out that murky, milky sediment that's in the water in the body. If I put two glasses of water in front of you and I said, hey, Fred, I need you to drink this glass of crystal clear spring water. It comes from a mountain in Arkansas. You'd say, oh, my goodness, I like the sound of that. But if I took a glass of creek water and I set it in front of you and it after a rain, you'd say, no, thank you very much. That looks pretty muddy and murky and there's a lot of sediment in it. Well, your kidneys have to filter that stuff out. And so one of the things that I'll do if I'm trying to help a person turn their health around is I'll try to put them on an herb called Spanish black radish. Now, Spanish black radish is a member of what's called the cruciferous family of vegetables. And so just like I told you that story a while ago about that 18-year-old girl that's craving Brussels sprouts every day, I thought to myself, I've never heard of that happening, but I like it. But so between broccoli and cabbage, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, kale, radishes, these things are nutritional powerhouses to scrub your body clean. They keep you in great working order. Have you ever heard of somebody showing up at the emergency room where the doctor says, nurse, quick, get a bed for this patient. They've overdosed on asparagus. I have never heard of that happening. Or I've never heard of somebody saying, we've got a garlic or an onion overdose, nurse. Do something quick. Pump the stomach with, you know, activated charcoal. No, that doesn't happen at all. Mm-hmm. And so radishes, they're pretty potent, but this one called Spanish black radish, I've looked in the seed catalogs that come in the mail from, what's the name of that company from Missouri? Rats, I can't remember it, but they've got the best catalogs of all time. The pictures in there are amazing, but when they show you a picture of a bunch of black radishes that have been pulled, you're thinking, I think I know why they call them black. Because they're not red and they're not pink. They are black, but they're so strong and potent. But see, the radishes, when you give, and what I do is I give it to people in tablet form. I mean, you could tell me right now that you're going to order some black radishes and you're going to plant them in the garden, you're going to eat them. And I'm going to say, good, you'll be the first person in over 30 years I've seen do that. But in the meantime, if you can do it easily from like a tablet, just compressed Spanish black radish, that's one of the best ways that you can start cleansing and cleaning your body and helping yourself out. And my next point is this. I can't even tell you over the years how many women I've had come to me and they say, okay, Dr. Morgan, I'm here for my checkup and for my visit, but let me tell you how this is going to work today. And I'll go, yes, ma'am, how's it going to work? And they say to me, you're not taking me off the Spanish black radish under any circumstances. And I'm going, why are you telling me that? And they just go, because I feel so good. But what the Spanish black radish is going to do, it's going to help assist between your lymphatic system and your liver and your kidneys and really all the systems in the body that are designed to help keep your body clean. So does that sort of make sense on my sales pitch that want to do is anytime that something goes up on your lab test, you got to think, what can I do to help my body detoxify or clean itself? Because if you can't get the trash out of the cells, you can take all the nutrients you want, but they may not go in there because your cells are all clogged up. And so Spanish black radish is one of those ways that you can help yourself.
Good. Do I take that in the pill form? I mean,
that's easy. Yeah, it's easy to do. Absolutely.
They have it in stores or the health food store?
Well, you'll have to look and see, but yeah, I've seen it. The kind that I use comes from a company called Standard Process. They just grow it organically in a field. That means no chemicals, no pesticides, no chemical residue. Guess what I had to tell somebody yesterday? Mm-hmm. Stop spraying Roundup. Stop it. Because there are health problems. And, you know, I'm going to do my job. And I try not to be too harsh, but sometimes you got to tell people, if you want to get well, get away from the pesticides and the chemicals. There's too many of them.
Right. Hey, that was very good. Very good help. I'm going to work on that. That one you said for black or white people or different, that M.
Well, it's called GFR. That's one of your, yeah. It's called a CMP. If you look at your C is in Calvin, M is in Morgan, P is in Paul. If you look at that, it's going to have a whole bunch of markers, and one of them is called GFR, and that's just short for your glomerular filtration rate. But if that says 50, that means your kidneys are working only at 50%, and that's stage one kidney failure. Mm-hmm. You don't want that. If it's 70, that means your kidneys are working at 70%. If it's like 102, that means your kidneys are excellent. They are working at 102% efficiency. That's great.
Oh, so that's a percentage of your kidney working, really.
Yeah, that's the simplest way I can say it. Exactly.
Okay, because I got it written down. I'm looking at my blood work now, and I go over it. I'll find it.
Yeah.
When you need help.
Yeah, and it, you know what? If yours comes back at 102, just scratch everything I'm saying. No, I'm just joking about that. And the thing of it is, you're trying to do a preemptive strike. You don't wait for a problem to occur before you take it. You do it ahead of time, right?
Right.
You can't beat that plan. I love it.
Hey, that baking soda, when should I take it, and that lemon juice? I do the street.
Well, I always think in the morning.
What about you can't take them together, close together, could you?
You can.
Lemon water and baking soda. And
yeah,
water.
I mean, I guess you could do that, but I always think if you'll take baking soda first, it is very soothing to the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're doing is you're trying, and I know I'm trying to make it sound simple, but a lot of times the problem is the kidneys get all this calcified gunk that builds up in them, and it never comes out, and that reduces your kidney function. So what we're doing here is you're trying to gently remove the calcium scaling. Right. Have you ever seen like a, I know you have, like a nut and a bolt where the nut is like rusted onto the bolt?
Mm-hmm.
And you might go up there and say, well, okay, you can't get the nut off, son. Let me put some WD-40 on it. But you're just using something as like a solvent to help loosen that rusted bond where you can get the nut off, right?
Right.
I changed a flat tire the other day, and every one of the bolts was like rusted. And I thought to myself, I wonder if I should lube those up. And I thought to myself, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'll let the tire guys tell me if that's prudent or not. You know what would probably happen to me? All four tires would probably come off driving down the highway.
Yeah, I got you.
But you would pull over on the side of the road and you'd help me, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm a mechanic, so yeah.
Hey, I knew it. Hey, hang in there, buddy.
All right.
Have a good day. Thanks.
All right. You too.
All righty. If you want to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line wants to get open. Now, if I can. Okay. Oh, that's not the article I'm looking for. Okay. I bought this book. The book is called Who Gets Sick? It's by Blair Justice. And Blair Justice, PhD, he's not a medical doctor, not a nutritionist. But I'm telling you, I like the information because I think what the information does is it proves how true the Word of God is. And one of the things that I was looking up here, let me read this to you. And to me, this is so interesting. So I don't know if this is relevant to you or maybe someone that you know or love. So when you think of this, let's just think in terms of, just think this through, okay? This is a story about a woman that was in a mental hospital, okay? A woman in a mental hospital who had remained mute for nearly 10 years. She was shifted to a different floor while her unit was being redecorated. Now, the unit where she had been living was known as the chronic hopeless floor. Do you get that? Oh, that sounds bad, doesn't it? In contrast, the floor to which she was moved was occupied mostly by improved patients that had privileges, including freedom to come and go on the hospital grounds. It was an exit ward from which patients could anticipate discharge. Okay? What is that? What does the hopeless floor mean? It probably means military lockdown, like the Russians around Mariupol. Soon after being moved to this ward, the woman surprised everyone by ceasing to be mute and she becoming socially responsive and gregarious. Wow. But a little later, the redecoration of her former unit was completed and she was moved back. Within a week of returning to the hopeless floor, she collapsed and died. The autopsy revealed no pathology of note. Here's the importance of that. People who perceive no control in their lives often have little sense of purpose, meaning, or competence. The concentration camp studies taught us how important purpose and meaning were for those who survived. In old age, deterioration seems to be a direct function of a person's not feeling needed or having no responsibility or anything to live for. Let me tell you what I think about this. As a person gets older, and God's already got all this worked out. I mean, God is incredible what he's done. Just incredible. If you're a child and an adult, and you take away all the work from your parents, even though they're older, and where they have no say in the matter, and you just stuff them in a nursing home or a facility where they have basically nothing to do, they've got nothing to purpose and meaning to their life, that's basically a death sentence. And you know what? There's some people that do this with a mindset that, you know, I'm not really that close to my parents. I'm just going to dump them off in this facility. I'm going to let somebody else take care of them. And you already know how this works. There's a group of Americans that do that every single day. And there's a group of Americans that have come here from other countries that do not do that under any circumstances. They actually care about their families, and they take good care of them. And they have good, strong family bonds. And you know what? The grandmother or the grandfather, they got work to do. They help with the kids. They help with the household duties. But, you know, it's just the way it is. A human body and a mind and a heart, it needs work to do. It's good to have challenges in front of you. So, let's just say that you're a single woman that's 75, 76 years old and you're living alone. And maybe your memory is not as sharp as it used to be. Well, what do you need? Well, you need a cat, or you need somebody to take care of and to entertain. Now, if you're an adult that's never had children, you're probably not going to understand this because you don't understand the idea of taking care of a child and nourishing a child and nurturing a child and disciplining a child. So you're probably not going to get that. And if that's where you're coming from, it's probably easier for you to say, hey, I'm done taking care. I don't want to take care of my mom. I'm going to stuff her off in a nursing home somewhere. You know what I think about that? I think that's totally cruel. It is totally cruel to do that. I think it's morally wrong, but that's just me talking about it. But the reason I read you that study about that woman that was mute, do you see how amazing it is when you put somebody in a good environment? Oh, my goodness. I just love it. I love the idea of helping people. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257, which the other reason I told you that study is if you're not getting well and improving, we need to change the environment to something pretty good. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I called a couple of weeks ago and I wanted to commend you on fixing the pain in my ankles and feet.
I don't remember that.
Well, you did.
Okay.
And every time I've called, you've always helped, and I can't tell you how many people I share what a wonderful man you are.
Oh, you're too nice. Thank you so much. Well, I appreciate your feedback.
That drank I have a friend I'm calling for today. He drank some water that highly suspected that it was contaminated. And now he's has diarrhea, throwing up, has all kind. He's really sick.
Headaches. But, I mean, you're serious. He's real sick, right?
No, he's real sick.
Well, how was the water contaminated?
He took a dare. He's a 23-year-old.
Oh, did he drink some pond water?
Putt-putt golf, and there was a fountain that had stagnant water in it.
Crap
and stuff in it.
Okay. Well, here's what we got to do. We got to put him on wormwood immediately.
Wormwood?
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe what I should say, when in doubt, after drinking stagnant water on the golf course, take wormwood. That's our new motto.
Okay,
Wormwood is an herb that's very good for getting rid of wicked bad bugs that you may have... I shouldn't try to make a joke about this, so I'll try to be serious.
You can.
But if you hadn't told me this story, I would have tried to make a joke out of it. But if you and I were in a small plane and it crashed in the outback of Alaska and...
Okay.
We walked away from it. We didn't die. And I said, hey, look over here. Here's a pond. The beavers built a pretty dam. Let's just start drinking the water in the beaver pond. And you would look at me and say, are you nuts? Do you want to have your body filled with protozoas and amoebas and giardia? If you've never seen those things, man, they just cause... that's like saying, I would like to have Montezuma's revenge. Thank you very much. Give me some water that's toxic. The thing of it is, you would say, why don't we put an iodine tablet in here to sterilize the water and kill it, which is my side point. The thyroid gland itself, 100% of all the blood that's in your body right now, it goes, all of it passes through your thyroid exactly every 13 minutes. I find that utterly amazing.
Okay.
And if your thyroid has plenty of iodine, guess what it does? It keeps your blood sterile from infection. So important.
Wow.
And so that iodine tablet kind of makes sense based on what we know about iodine. It kills pathogenic bugs, whether it be viruses or bacteria, funguses, amoebas. And so your friend right now, you probably better give him some food-grade activated charcoal.
That's
number one. And do that always on an empty stomach. Just wait about 30 minutes to an hour afterwards. And then what we want to do is we want to start hitting... There's a type of a probiotic yeast. It's called Saccharomyces boulardii. And I'm terrified that you're going to ask me to spell that for you. Do I have to spell it for you?
Please do.
Thanks a lot.
All of the other.
All right, I'm trying to spell it. Okay, can I have a go at it? But let me tell you first about this yeast. Go to the health store for your friend right now. Get him a boatload of this, which means one bottle. It's called Saccharomyces boulardii. Let me spell it. Two words, okay? First letter is the letter S. S as in Steve. Okay, it's S-A-C-C-H-R-O-M-Y-C-E-S. Saccharomyces. And the second word is boulardii. B-O-U-L-A-R-D, like the word lard. And then I think it's two I's. I think it was named after an Italian gentleman by the name of Boulardii. Anyway, but Saccharomyces boulardii, this is exactly what he needs right now. This is a yeast or a fungus that when he swallows it, it's gonna wake up from its nap, and it's gonna start eating any type of toxic germs that he just swallowed from that stagnant water. I have a feeling when you say stagnant water, you're being very kind and radio friendly on a family show on a Saturday morning. It's probably
you
a little
might
bit.
Say it was putrid.
Yeah, exactly. In which.
Okay.
I guarantee you, he ain't ever going to do that again, ever, if he can recover from this.
No, he'll recover. He's really a strong, healthy gentleman, typically, just not real smart
No, his IQ is probably around 6 right now. But if he gets over this, his IQ will be probably about 140.
When I was his age, I did dumb things too. So I'm not sitting here.
Oh, no. Does that mean I have to own up to my dumb stuff I did too when I was young? Great.
Well, you're pretty bright now.
Oh,
so
well. Yeah. I never drank stagnant water, but I did other stuff. Well, okay, but Saccharomyces boulardii, he needs this so badly right now. I mean, I know you're gonna follow through with what I'm telling you, but
absolutely,
I don't know that I could emphasize enough how severely desperate he needs this stuff right now.
Okay,
and when you're at the health food store, whenever they open up, because it's like 10 till 8 right now, get in there and say, "Show me the wormwood."
Okay.
I think that's a famous line in a movie where they say, "Show me the wormwood." No, I'm just joking. That didn't happen. So he needs activated charcoal.
Yep.
He's got to have the Saccharomyces boulardii to save him. And then he's got to have wormwood. Now, let me give you a different take on this. Those three things, they're essential. They're non-negotiable. There's no other way. So that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So what you have is, when you have an infection, you got to have vitamin A. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing that has more vitamin A than liver.
Okay.
So he should be at the drive-thru at about 11 a.m. saying, "Give me the liver and onions, please. I'll pay cash for it."
Except at a cafeteria. I don't know places that sell it. But anyway, we'll get him some.
Well, the way that you would do that also is you just go to the grocery store and you got to look where they hold the frozen meat. I can tell you at Walmart, it's usually going to be in that middle refrigerated open freezer aisle. That's usually where they have stuff like sausage and barbecue and big slabs of meat that somebody barbecue or smoke this afternoon.
Yes.
Now, if you told me that you're giving free samples of your brisket, I'd find a way to make it to your house today.
I'd
say, "Well, this is weird. I just thought I'd come by and say hi today." What's that on the smoker?
Understood.
Hey, there's a neighbor that I have from the Philippines that you talk about, the nicest people on the planet. They are just a joy to be around. He was up. He's been up since 4 this morning smoking a pig. That's what he does. And you know, if you watch him, when he's got these big long freezers in his garage where he puts these, they're whole pigs. I'm not making it up. It's the head. It's everything. But this is like a Filipino treat, and I think he does it for a living.
You know what? There are so many feral hogs, he really could feed a lot of hungry people with that, and it's delicious.
When you say a feral hog, what color are they usually?
Not lily white, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what these pigs are. But no, you're right about that. We got so many around here.
Oh, gosh. It's begging that something can be done to help. Yet, nonetheless,
do you know where that new bridge is on Highway 69 there at Flint at 346?
Yes, I do. Yes, sir.
Okay, when I drive home, if it's late in the evening, I look off and I'm heading toward Tyler, heading north from Jacksonville. But I look off in that little field that's just to the right of where they built that new bridge, and I always see one mama sow with two baby. They're just as black as they can be. But now, to me, I think it's just fun to watch them, just like I enjoy watching deer. But those little bitty piglets, they can't be over 15 pounds.
and they farrow 3 times a year. That's why we have so many, because they're so wily, so smart. Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
They are smart, aren't they?
They are very smart, very wily.
Yeah, I like that.
So, we give him liver after we do these three essentials. I always appreciate your stories. I just want
And I'm sorry for getting distracted right there. I need to stay on topic. But number one, when the immune system has been insulted severely, you got to give the body protein. You just have to.
Okay.
Friend could tell you, "I don't want to eat. It doesn't sound like appealing." Make him eat salmon, or give him a protein drink, or give him some eggs.
Okay.
But he's got to have protein to get the body to repair itself when it's been severely insulted. Another way of saying this is, without protein, you cannot make the antibodies to respond to the infection. Does that sort of make sense?
Yep.
And so he's probably got projectile diarrhea right now, doesn't he?
I would imagine.
Well, then you're going to work on these things right here. And if you can't get the liver, let's feed him salmon, flounder, halibut, cod.
Eggs?
Eggs. Yes, yes, sir. Exactly. Eggs, eggs, eggs. He's got to have that.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if I asked him, are you in the mood to eat right now? He's going to say, no. Yeah. But you got to tell him to eat something. Two scrambled eggs with cheese will go a long way to helping him.
Excellent.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it. Well, no, I mean, there could be more, but I'm just telling you, these are the absolute emergency methods you got to do now.
Okay.
And you can do it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
God, thank you so much. God bless you.
Oh,
really,
you're welcome. God bless you. I appreciate
you. I get up every Saturday morning and listen to you. I promise, and I want to encourage everyone else to do the same thing. I don't know of one single thing that you've recommended that I've tried that has not worked. Seriously, I could write a book almost on what you helped me with. So,
well, you're most welcome. I'm glad to be here. Glad to help.
God bless you.
Oh, sorry, I just hit the button too fast. Thank you very much. May God bless you. But especially this young man. I mean, that is just rough. Okay, I don't even think we have time for another caller. What was I looking at here? Yeah, this is the one that really, really got me. And this comes from the book called Who Gets Sick by Blair Justice, PhD. And, man, I am digging it. But they quote from the Department of Medicine and Psychiatry of Rochester, New York, George Engel, Arthur Schmale, William Green, Franz Reichman. They did this study, and I'm just going to try to make it sound simple and to the point for you. They showed specifically that when somebody was dealing with a chronic health issue, and you know what I'm talking about, it means you've got symptoms, you don't feel right, basically you're chronically sick, and you're not getting well. But in the study, they basically say that 80% of all people, they go through the process of just giving up. You know what that means? They're trying to say that about 80% of all people with chronic health problems, they basically just stop trying. They've either given up, or sometimes it's called the given up complex. And that's a new term for me, but I mean, it's a new term, but I get to see it all the time. And so the fact that somebody's listened to a program like this and trying to help themselves, hey, that's what you're supposed to do. That's your God-given moral responsibility. But let me just tell you, don't give up. Keep trying. That is huge to the human body to know that you're trying. So when you drink a cup of herbal tea, what are you saying? I want to help myself. When you drink a glass of lemon water, you're telling your body, I like you. I want to help you. Thanks for joining me today. Lord willing, I'll be back next Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Bye-bye. Okay. One topic that I'm trying to kind of pour myself into, and I'm still trying to collect information because I want to make sure I kind of have a handle on this, is the topic of messenger RNA. Now, I've already started on this, but I'm in no way finished with knowing everything I want to know from front to back. And so if you'll let me kind of pour through that, I want to make sure that I answer that question very, very well before I discuss it in detail. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Please tune in next Saturday morning, Lord willing, at the same time.